Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps, and when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack, and take a step on back, and go to a meeting, and keep coming back, and then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Thank you to Courtney for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAO, ACA, GAPA, SLA, SLA, ACRRR, MMDRA, HAPA.
You said those already.
You're just making... The HAPA thing I tend to repeat.
Hoppa?
Ha, 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 ha.
Hoppa.
We don't speak for...
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
You don't speak for any of those guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves. If you heard the Thanksgiving show, or if you're going to hear the Thanksgiving show, you'll find that out. So there you have it. It's getting a little cooler in California, although I hear it's going to be 80 degrees by Tuesday. But then I heard it might rain by the weekend.
That'd be cool.
It hasn't rained in a long time.
Yeah, like a week.
Longer than a week. And it
no,
only
rained the other day, which was good. We needed it, but
it rained for like
overnight.
Half a day.
It rained overnight.
It rained. There were some places that got like a quarter of an inch, half an inch.
You know what? There's people in other states going, quarter inch. Oh, yeah, you guys are getting flooded.
Yeah.
We haven't had any rain for a decade.
Guys in Oregon are like, it rained a quarter of an inch 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. There's places in the Midwest that are up to their, you know, what's in snow right now. So.
Yeah. I was actually spoke to someone who was going to North Dakota. They're going to go work in the oil fields up there.
Yeah.
Apparently, that area is growing like crazy right now because everybody and their brother is moving there to work in the oil fields.
Yeah, but it's 18 below.
Well, that's what the guy was saying. He goes, yeah, they told me I should bring some jackets. I'm like, you ever been in North Dakota in the winter? And he goes, no. And I'm like, where are you from? And he goes, well, I'm originally from San Diego, but I live around here. I'm like, dude, you better go to Burlington Coat Factory and spend some money. And he goes, well, I know it's going to be cold. And I'm like, no. Have you ever been in sub-zero weather before? And he goes, no, never. He goes, I've been in freezing weather a couple times. I'm like, dude.
You
might want to get
skiing doesn't count.
Get the ski hat that's got the mask built in, the beardy or whatever. You know, you want that whole thing going on. Because if you open your eyes too wide, they're going to freeze open.
He will be living in an area where the air hurts his face.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that from when I was a kid living in Minnesota.
Cold is cold.
It's like Green Bay. Why? Why would anybody live in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
There were some people who left New York and were heading for California. They decided to take the northern route, and their vehicle stopped running.
Yeah, that's it.
And they said, let's settle here.
Yeah, it has to be it.
Honey, it's just for a few days till I get the car fixed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Shelley.
What?
What's up?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
That's stunning for the show.
Well, I mean, wow!
Everyone out there's like,
we're hanging on your every word.
I was expecting you to say, "Oh, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze." We got an extra dude
out of the peanut gallery.
Awesome. Also,
it's like what Fran used to come to visit.
You left something out last show.
What?
From the gal who said the one who attacked the bartenders and stuff.
What?
In the last thing, it said something. She's a lover, not a fighter.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's funny because you hit that woman with the beer bottle after punching her twice in the face.
Whoops.
And ripping out her false teeth.
And ripping out her false teeth and sticking them in your pocket.
Okay, let's see.
That's from the Thanksgiving show. Either the one that just happened or the one you're going to hear next week. So remember that.
Elizabeth sent this story in.
No shout outs?
Same people.
Same people.
Same trailer,
it's
different park.
It's only the same people.
If they heard the last show.
If they
okay.
heard the last show.
You're
and the
on
last
my
show,
cord.
The last show.
Okay, Deborah, John, Carol, Jack, Stryker, Randy, Bill, Cindy, Elizabeth, Deborah G, Fran, Georgette, and James D.
No, Brian.
James Dean?
James D.
James Dean
D.
listens to the star, the show?
The star.
The show. Dude, the I show? Told you on the last show, you got to stop drinking before we go on the air.
I know, but it's...
but the shows are so much better when he does.
But I'm a cocaine addict. I mean,
that's right.
You know.
Couple drinks don't no count.
No.
Those don't count.
Hell no.
Does that count?
Okay, this story was
in a row?
Out of Palm Beach,
Florida.
Thank you. Elizabeth sent this in. A 53-year-old woman, Marie Seymour, is facing criminal charges.
Marie?
Marie.
Or Maurice.
Marie.
Or Marie Seymour.
Whatever. Anyway, she's gotten arrested because she stabbed her boyfriend after an argument. They were both drinking, by the way.
Oh, no.
Because he threatened her turtle. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, I'm going to turn him over on his back.
Is that what she calls it?
They got into it. They were been drinking, sitting around, shooting the breeze. They got into an argument. And he claims he was kidding.
Did he look at her and say, I have a soup pan right here?
Probably something like that. He said he was kidding. She said, you threatened my turtle. So she stabbed him.
Wow.
Can I walk your dog?
Now, when...
You like stuff, right?
He was treated and released at the local hospital. Clearly, it wasn't a fatal wound.
Clearly.
And she was taken to jail.
This wasn't a bobbit?
He wants her released because, you know, it wasn't... It was a booze-fueled argument, clearly.
It's only a flesh wound.
Yeah, it's only a flesh wound. But what I love is
I have that shirt.
Yeah, I know.
What I love is that the reporter in this story, this reporter is destined for a Pulitzer because he actually wrote in here, the turtle's name was not released.
Wow. Here, soup.
See, I've never had turtle soup.
It's good.
Is it?
Yeah. Had oxtail soup?
No.
Oh, similar.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of stuff that's really popular that I just don't eat. Like, I don't eat lengua either. Tongue? No. And Fausto will sit there and go, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. It's awesome. I'm not eating your tongue either, Mark. Put it back in your mouth.
Okay.
Back in box.
Put that away.
Because we didn't get a lot of boozy news stories this week, so from here on out, it's just me. Remember.
Speaking of drinking.
Yeah. What was it? 8 months ago when we were talking about Porkmageddon? And yeah. We were all going to be running out of bacon because
yeah.
there aren't any pigs.
I bought extra. Right.
We have a new...
Bake-ageddon.
We have a new shortage problem.
Now what?
What is it now?
Chocolate.
Okay, this is getting serious.
This is very
this
serious.
This is getting serious.
And it's only compounding itself because what's happening here, they actually have something that the farmers that own the coca plantations, they call it the chocolate deficit. Because... worldwide, we consume more than they create every year. And the only reason why we haven't completely run out of chocolate is because when this started, they already had a stockpile. So we've been eating into the stockpile every year for like decades. And now it's to the point where they're predicting that chocolate prices are going to double or triple in some areas. And
so much for Halloween.
Years ago, I switched from coca to cocoa, and I think I helped contribute to this.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I clearly contributed to this. And there's also a problem. Last year, there was something called frosty pods. It's some kind of fungus that grows on coca trees. It
sounds like some kind
kills.
Of drug.
I know.
Boy, let's go get some frosty pods.
I know.
Oh, yes. yeah. Hell, that's some good frosty pods right
Actually,
there.
Actually, when I heard that, I thought of the ice cream they make for dogs, which is called frosty paws.
I've seen that. dog ice cream.
So we are clearly going to have a serious issue because without chocolate, all of the PMSing women in America.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait.
This is going to be very frightening.
What will
frightening.
The alcoholics have to keep in case a vague craving arises during the night?
That's true.
It says it in
AA
the big
has
book.
Contributed to this.
And what about the heroin
Jolly Ranchers.
Addicts? What about the heroin addicts that are coming down?
That's never, you know, when I've had a vague craving arise in the middle of the night, rarely is it for chocolate. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
See, it's all, I eat chocolate cereal in bed, so it's clearly chocolate for me.
I get a vague craving, but it's not for chocolate.
Okay, so the solution to this is y'all need to stop eating chocolate so that there's some left for me. Because this
well,
is all about
I think
me.
We ration to the PMSing women first.
Yes.
Because when mama isn't happy,
daddy isn't happy.
Ain't nobody happy.
Nobody's happy.
Let's see. Polk County. I've forgotten where Polk County is.
Polk.
Polk County.
At any rate, wherever Polk County is.
Are there ewes?
No. But sadly, Ernesto McLeod, who's 28 years old, just threw his entire police career away.
Oh.
They were investigating a convenience store robbery, and for some reason, he felt the urge to steal a $10 DVD.
The cop.
The cop did.
I thought it was going to be Twinkies. I really did.
Yeah.
He could have just downloaded it.
His rationale was that for that was, well, I haven't seen that movie.
Wow.
So my response to this is, do we really want someone with that level of brain power policing our citizens?
Do we want somebody who hasn't seen that movie?
What movie was it? And it's probably a lame-ass movie, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's probably a lame-ass movie because it's being sold at the 7-Eleven.
Well, it was possible evidence, though.
Yeah, you know what? If it's a 7-Eleven movie, it's like. Have you ever seen, like, you go by the dollar store?
We've all seen Caddyshack.
And they have the videos where it's like, they're like, hey, you can get this video for, like, $2. And it's like some Christmas video or something, but it's like some animated thing. You just know it's, like, horrible, horrible, horrible quality. It's like, who would buy this for their children? You could buy the Rankin-Bass thing of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and next to it is some no-name thing that's all Spanish subtitled. Because you know it's no good.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
I have. You never go to Walmart then.
I just go to Walmart to get chicken.
To run it around the floor?
Yeah, fresh ones.
You just scoop it off the floor?
That's right.
Okay, the next story happened in Jacksonville.
And you go cook meth.
Florida!
Thank you. And this is my favorite story of the night because it's about a library.
no.
It's a library story.
A book published in 1943 called Leading American Soldiers by Robert M. Johnstone was returned in the library's book drop this past Monday.
Oh.
It was 71 years, 9 months, and 2 weeks late.
Oh.
Wow. That's a
fine for that,
that's
Shelley?
A pretty penny.
Well, because they charge fines based on when the book is checked out, the overdue fines at that time were only 2 cents a day, so the fine owed is only $530.
Only.
But they don't have patron records from that time period anymore, so they have no idea who checked it out.
So the statute of limitations is gone.
The statute of limitations is gone.
I'll bet it's an old guy.
It would have to be.
I'm just saying, it's an old guy.
It's an old guy. 71 years later. Now, and the person who wrote this article did some research because, you know, they thought perhaps it was the record for the longest overdue book ever. No, that record goes to our first president, George Washington. Yes, he checked out a book called The Law of Nations, borrowed from the New York Society Library in 1789. That was 220.
Let me guess, it's never been turned back in.
It was 225 years ago. Like it was not returned until 2010.
I was going to say, now it's in his private library or something.
He's dead.
I know, but they save libraries.
Oh, no, it was returned in 2010. It is
by
now,
whom?
It does not say.
Who returned it? That book worth a lot of money, I'll
I know,
bet.
It doesn't say. But that, because...
He lied about it.
Yeah.
He lied about it. Based on their overdue fines, however, that one would have cost $300,000.
You know what's funny? I could see it now. The book is like how to properly prune your cherry tree.
A book called The Law of Nations? That was what he checked out. Washington checked
I know, but it would have been better if he... checked
that's
out
right.
a thing
how
on
to
cutting,
prune your cherry
cutting
tree.
Down cherry sure. trees.
Okay, this story isn't so much a story. Well, it is a story, but it's being called the most ridiculous breakup text message ever. Now,
well,
first
I
of all,
know. There's a lot of those.
First of all, breaking up by text is completely lame anyway.
Safe for the guy.
Yeah, you need if you're going to dump somebody, you got to dump him in person. That's just wrong.
Completely safe for the guy.
Yeah. Not really.
Yeah, yeah. Hamza brought up, not if rations of chocolate is going down.
It is not safe for the guy.
The guy had only been dating the girl for like a few weeks, but he bullet pointed his text. And these are the reasons why he's breaking up with her.
This is going to be good. I can already tell.
One, you refused to update your relationship status on Facebook.
Okay.
Two, you won't include me in things like the wedding this weekend. I should have been the one to escort you.
Like sex with your girlfriend.
Three, and this is the reason. There's seven reasons, but this is the big reason. You are rude to my cat, and that makes me feel uncomfortable.
You are rude to my cat.
Cats are rude to everybody.
Yeah, well, cats, you know. Maybe this guy's Egyptian, and he's looking at the cat like it's his god.
I think that's code. I think that's code for being for rough sex.
No, he's saying, I want to be rude to your cat.
Yeah.
She's rude to her cat. She masturbates furiously.
Number four, you do not share your time equally. And by now, you know, keep in mind this is like 3 weeks later, your boyfriend should be taking priority. Number five, your swearing is very unladylike, to which I would respond, yeah, F you.
Yeah.
and number six, well, there's six reasons and then a sign-off. Six, you won't disclose how many sexual partners you have had, which makes me think it is more than three, and anything more than that is unacceptable.
How many has he had?
He doesn't say.
Wow.
Time.
I'd be in major, major, major trouble there.
And here's the sign-off. I feel you would be impossible to change into the kind of woman I want, and I don't want the hassle.
Oh, well, good, because you can't change her anyway. I think he's one of us.
Peanut Gallery says he's one
Wait,
of us.
Does it say whether she was even upset about getting this text from this guy?
No, now going viral because she sent it to a friend of hers who said, can I post this online? And she did, and now it's all over the place.
I was going to say, this chick is so happy right now that she didn't stay with this guy.
Yeah, give me a break. You're rude to my cat. Yeah. That's a reason to break up with somebody, really?
Yeah.
Okay, the Peanut Gallery wants to know, if he kicked my cat, what would I say? Well, actually, I'm the wrong person to ask that because I'll be yeah, Bruce, what would you say?
Well, does this guy think that she learned how to suck a tennis ball through a hose at the convent?
Yeah.
Clearly. I mean, oh, jeez. Okay, in Pahrump, Nevada.
I'm sorry.
Pahrump. I love the name of that town. Pahrump, baby. Just sounds like you're going to have sex there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Massive. Now, clearly, Nevada is not a recreational or medical marijuana state because they removed 2 tons of dried and bundled marijuana from a remote mountain area.
It was on its way to Colorado.
Extensive grow operation was found.
I got to tell you, too, dried weed, not good. Not good at all. They're like, dried weed. We confiscated a bunch of dried weed. No, they threw that away.
Well, it says, 2 tons of dried and bundled plants.
Yeah, I know, but dried weed is horrible.
The farm had full irrigation lines.
It was still sticky.
Processing huts and a kitchen cooking area. They have so far cut down 8,500 plants. They're not even done. The story was just published today.
They cut down 16,000 plants.
Yeah, they're just not telling
anybody.
They're
just not saying what happened to the other ones.
Actually, they transplanted about 4,000 of them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know how everybody says, you know, you're not supposed to eat raw cookie dough, right?
Oh, my God. I'm in trouble.
And everybody says, oh, it's just, you know, the food police don't want you. Nobody wants you to have fun. No. Hello. Ricky Simpson's mother.
Ricky's mother?
Yeah, Ricky's mother. I'm trying to remember
Ricky?
What her name is.
Ricky's mom has
got it going on.
Now, wait a minute.
That's Wendy's mom.
Wendy's mom has got it going on. Wait a minute. Ricky's mother's Lucy. No, little Ricky's mother's Lucy.
Did Ricky lose that number?
Huh?
Ricky, don't lose that number.
Okay, can we get back to the sad story here?
Oh,
she had,
a sad story?
In 2009, she had a couple of bites of uncooked cookie dough. She bought the prepackaged cookie dough.
Oh.
She died last week of E. coli that she contracted from that cookie dough. She got sick, and over the years, she never was able to completely recover. And over the years, she had multiple organ failures, and she died from eating raw cookie dough.
See, your mother was right.
But that was processed.
Wait a minute. My mother used to give me, like,
the
things from the
mixer.
Yeah,
you get the mixer.
She was trying to kill me. I didn't even realize that.
Well, the interesting
Holy
thing is...
Holy crap.
Am I in danger from earlier today?
Probably. Now, the thing that's interesting is that if you're reading the story and you listen to his quotes, now, what would you think if you heard this quote? Don't take a chance with it. It's not worth it. You give up your life, you lose everything. You'd think you were talking about drugs. No, cookie dough. He's talking about cookie dough.
Well, someone just died.
If I walk past a bowl of cookie dough, it's tough for me to not, you know, dip in.
Well, you're dicing with
death.
Your
days are numbered, Mark. Talk to Hams about getting some life insurance.
Okay, Hero of the Week alert. In Scotia, New York.
Scotia?
Scotia.
Justice Scotia.
Yes. Justice Belfield, 98 years old, spent his last full day on Earth, which was Veterans Day, appropriately enough. In his army uniform, he wanted to die in his uniform. He put on his army uniform and died in the bed next to his wife.
Who died 4 years ago.
No. Multiple years of marriage.
I couldn't help it.
He said he was most proud of his 17 years of military service, and he wanted to die in his uniform, which he did on Veterans Day. And thank you for your service.
Thank you, Ben.
He gave one last salute.
Yes. Oh, he did. The picture of him is viral. Oh, you've seen it? Yeah.
His wife didn't look so good.
Well,
she's dead for
they're in
years.
The same hospice. Okay, now we have... I got to do this one, because this is in Columbus, Ohio.
CBUS.
Yes, this happened in Columbus, Ohio, and I read this story, and I thought, wow, I really don't think that I want to get arrested by these cops. I don't know that really anybody should employ these cops. The Columbus Police Department will be reviewing their recruitment training procedures.
Uh-oh.
They were on maneuvers.
When do cops go on maneuvers?
In Columbus, Ohio.
Cops in Detroit on maneuvers. Now, that's one thing.
Well, the first thing that happened was that three cruisers wrecked into each other. They're completely totaled.
Oops.
Because the training sergeant cut one of the recruits off. He was in between the two cars. Rear-ended the first car, and then the recruit behind him crashed into him.
Awesome.
And that's the trainer that did that. So then they've lost three cop cars.
That's why they call them accidents.
And then a little while later, when they were practicing with tear gas.
Ooh. Okay, this gets good.
They apparently weren't far enough away from the elementary school where they had to take 14 children to the emergency room.
Oh, my God.
Because the tear gas fumes entered the elementary school and made a bunch of people sick.
This could have been a lot worse.
You know what I think?
It could have been the live fire exercises.
That's true.
That's right. I think the kids, the next day the teacher says, you better be good or I'm going to do the same thing again today.
Yeah, really.
Everybody get their homework done?
You better have.
Well, I don't know. They're
still
in the hospital.
The cops are right outside.
Columbus's finest.
Okay, the last story, Richard J. Staples, 51 years old, Huntsville, Alabama. Yes, was picked up on indecency charges. He was outside the Regency Beauty Institute, which is a cosmetology school.
Oh, Jesus.
He exposed his genitals and buttocks outside the shop and then ran back to his truck. One of the women took a picture of his license plate as he drove away in his truck.
And his genitals.
Yeah, that's not the only thing. That's not the only thing she took a picture of.
That's the only picture she turned in.
And then called the police and informed them that they had, you know, a mad flasher outside the cosmetology school scaring the girls. And when he was arrested, he was wearing nothing but a camisole, a tutu, and high heels.
Wow.
That,
wow. See, that's where that it's
that's
like
the
it's like
the, that's
the
pirate outfit.
Yeah, it's like that's where the story goes completely sideways. Yeah.
He at some point during his day, he thought it would be a really good idea to put on a tutu, a camisole, and some high heels, and go and flash the cosmetology school.
That's awesome.
He had no reason for doing so. And
does anybody? Shelley, give me two reasons.
Is there a good reason for that?
Give me one reason.
It doesn't say that he was drunk or high, so I can't really think of a good reason.
Thing, man.
No, he's drunk or high.
Yeah.
Or both, yes.
And he
it
was,
seemed like a good idea at the time, officer.
He was picked up by the police in the parking lot of a local Staples where he had been doing the same thing to employees at Staples. And witnesses identified him later on in three separate photo spreads taken by
photo
employees.
Spreads.
Yes.
Yeah. Which magazines was he in?
Of this guy in his tutu.
How'd you like to be booked into jail in your tutu and camisole and heels?
How'd you like to be the drunk guy in the alley who went, "Hey, baby.
Here's your roommate, Bubba. You got a pretty mouth."
Everybody needs a little loving.
Oh, jeez.
Do you want to be the husband in this relationship or the wife?
Well, since
I want to be the husband, then get down on your knees and suck your wife's dick.
That's right.
I think by definition, because he's going to be booked in wearing high heels and a tutu, that he's going to end up being the female in that relationship. So, and that, my excellent friends, is the end of the Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
So, Shelley, we have a topic.
What's our topic?
What? Wait, huh? I'm still talking about cookies.
We have a topic.
Sorry.
And welcome back.
Shout out.
To the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
At SelfWillHappens.com.
Possibly at SelfWillHappens.com.
No, it's at SelfWillHappens.com. We're in search of the New Way Foundation right now.
Oh, okay.
But go ahead.
What was the topic? I don't remember.
It was your topic.
It was?
Yes.
There's a talking to smack on you.
Oh, yes. We have to do this very diplomatically.
No, we don't.
Yes,
we
do.
I refuse to do it diplomatically.
We have to do it diplomatically.
I have to do it diplomatically.
We have to do it diplomatically.
No, we don't.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. We probably do at this moment.
We do.
No, we don't.
Maybe we should pick a different topic. Bruce, why don't you lead this one off?
Well, it would be hard for me to be diplomatic, so maybe you should stage it in a different way.
Okay.
What's the topic, Shelley?
The topic is talking smack.
Okay.
Gossip. Do we engage in it?
Sure.
What happens when we do? What are the ramifications of that? What happens when we hear people gossiping about us?
Well, that's
what
different.
Do we do?
That's different.
How do we feel about that? What does the program say that we're supposed to do?
Is that covered?
I want to hear Mark's opinion about that. Someone's talking smack, and it's about you.
I don't care. I really don't. I mean, how many people out there? Come on, you guys read the mail, you read the comments, you read the stuff. How many people talk smack about me?
All of them.
And what do I care?
No. Yeah, only one, really.
Yeah, but that's not fair, because you don't care about anything.
Howard didn't like you.
Howard can take 2 weeks off from listening to the show. He'll have a whole different attitude. Well, you know how I know that? Because there was another guy who didn't like me, and he said he was never listening again.
MM?
Yeah. 2 weeks later, we're getting comments from him about
he couldn't. He goes, well, away. I couldn't stop listening.
Yeah, because he didn't like your political stance on the show. He said you were too political, which baffles me, because most of the time when you guys barely start talking about politics, I come up with, politics or religion.
You know what the problem is? It's not that we're political. It's that we're not on the same political side he is.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
If someone complains that you're bringing up politics, they only, like, you never hear, like, a Republican go to another Republican and go, hey, don't bring that up. That's
I do.
That's politics.
Usually the only
I do.
And you don't hear a Democrat say, don't bring that up. That thing about the Democrat. Yeah, you never hear that. You only hear it where the guy goes, oh, so you support that candidate, huh? Well, I don't support that candidate, so you shouldn't bring it up.
Yeah. Because rather than having an intelligent argument back, all they have is to smack on you for having
Not agreeing with them.
Yeah, for not agreeing with them.
I'm the one who says no politics on the show.
Yeah, no, we don't
Great.
Agree with
and
you.
And I agree with you.
But we don't
and
agree
I, so
with
I
you.
Say it. But what?
But we don't agree with you.
Well, no, you just never listen to me. Well, there's a difference.
Well, there's that.
So, Shelley, someone talks smack about you.
They have.
What do you do?
Well, once I stopped laughing, I didn't really do anything. I heard a number of years ago that pretty much everybody at one of the other clubs over here was under the impression that I was not only still drinking, but that I was pregnant. And at the time, well, that was right around the time that the whole pregnancy ship had sailed. So it was pretty much impossible.
Yes.
And I wasn't drinking. And I heard that because our child was quite upset when she heard this story. And I started laughing, and when I stopped laughing, she said, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, well, nothing. And she was baffled.
See, I think it depends on the situation, because there would be times
If somebody was talking smack about you, how would you feel?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There would be – it depends, because there would be certain situations where I might say something, especially if it's someone that talks smack about other people, because just in general, talking smack about anybody – behind their back in program is not the greatest thing for people to do. Mm-hmm. So I would probably say something. It doesn't mean that I'm necessarily all that affected by it, but I would, because if I know something's not true, it doesn't matter. But I might have to kick some ass. Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
So in this case, acceptance wouldn't be the key.
You know, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today, but maybe I wouldn't look at this person as being a problem.
So,
or maybe you're
a lot smaller than me.
You want the problem to hang around a lot longer. Yeah.
So the acceptance in this case is the other person who's going to have to be in acceptance over the fact that you're going to kick their ass.
Well,
kick
you know, acceptance works a lot of ways. Acceptance works a lot of ways.
You have a question?
Here's the thing as well. Have you ever had someone come up to you to talk smack about someone and go, hey, I got to tell you something about so-and-so, but you can't tell anybody? And I'm like, I hate the whole, you know, I'm going to tell you something that's important. You might want to know it, but you can't tell them.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Why would you do that?
Because it could negatively affect other people. And
well,
we're
then I
supposed
would rather
to be not creating wreckage.
Well, then I would rather not know.
I know, and that would be the fault of the person who informed you.
Yes.
Yes, because that person was not expecting that reaction.
Well, there you go.
So clearly this is an expectation problem.
What's the biggest thing that usually the smack talk centers around? It's usually newcomers who have gone out and come back and don't show up for a meeting or two, and immediately everybody starts with the, I guess so-and-so is back out there.
Could be.
Getting
yeah.
loaded, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that a million times.
Yeah. How's Uncle Pink Cloud doing?
Uncle Pink Cloud.
Uncle Pink Cloud.
You know. Uncle Medium Rare Cloud.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the best thing is those guys who come in and they've got, you know, like a lot of time, like 4 months.
Yeah, a lot of time.
And they've reached the point where they're very much in touch with their higher power.
Yeah.
I love that.
And they share about how in touch with their higher power they are and how the program has changed their life.
And it's different this time.
And it's changed their life. And they really right now don't know if they need to work any steps because in getting in touch with their higher power, they've discovered church. And that they're going to do this for the rest of their lives. And the only reason they're working the steps is saying start sponsoring people.
Oh, there's a train wreck waiting to happen.
And then they don't show up for 3 weeks. And they come back in with an ass full of arrows, tail tucked firmly between their legs. And want to know why it is that their higher power didn't do it for them.
Well, and the other thing, too, is it's the ones like where somebody, whether they're new or old or whatever, someone comes in and they do something inappropriate at a meeting. And then someone smacks them down for it. Uh-huh. And then it seems like, oh, my goodness, all of a sudden that's the person they want to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, someone smacked me down. Oh, you know, that person right there is no good.
Yeah.
So what would you suggest? What would you suggest to a sponsee that they should do when someone's talking smack about them?
Kick their ass.
Question from the peanut gallery.
Kick their ass.
Kick their ass.
Yep.
Okay, it's green light, everybody.
Yep.
Mark says kick their ass.
Well, it depends because I might, I'd probably ask him, does it bother you? And if it doesn't bother him, then do nothing. If it bothers you, maybe you should talk to him about it.
Yeah.
My question would be, does it affect your daily life? And if so,
what if it affects somebody else's daily life? What if the talking about someone affects somebody else adversely who's in the program?
Jeez, old Pete's, I don't know.
How would it affect them adversely?
Yeah.
Well, let me try and think of a way to do an example. I'll give you an example that would be a real. This isn't really what's happening, but let's say someone is going away with someone to a convention, and a person tells this person's boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, mother, whatever, you know, the guy that he's going with is getting loaded, and he's not. Now, that affects because now maybe the wife, husband, girlfriend, whatever, doesn't want him to go. So now the entire time they're gone, they're worried like hell that their significant other is getting loaded because she was told they were getting loaded by someone, and it's not true.
I can see how that would cause a problem with the other end of that, the family. I mean,
and it might cause an issue if the guy who's going to the convention suddenly can't go because now it's been determined that he might be going with someone that's getting loaded, so you know what, you can't go.
When it wasn't true in the first place.
Right. Well, usually when you're talking smack, it's usually something that's not true.
Right, and that's why when I hear, you know, I have heard from other people that at various times that they thought one of my sponsees was drinking, or using or whatever, or doing something nefarious. I generally don't believe it because rumors fly around the program like wildfire. And
true.
I'm not entirely sure why. Usually I think it's my personal opinion is that somebody got pissed off at somebody else and just wanted to lie to get somebody into trouble.
It's like
a payback.
It's like I took some sponsees to a convention one time in San Diego. And some people started a rumor that one of them was doing heroin in the bathroom in between meetings.
He was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was.
Yeah, that yeah. Right.
He was. He was.
Okay, that one was true. But
I remember I told Mark, I said something is up with so-and-so.
Yeah.
And Mark goes, I think he's just tired. I'm like, dude, he's going to the bathroom like every 5 minutes.
He was.
Yeah. All night long.
All night long.
I said, everybody in the room said that he was stepping over them to get out the door, to go out to the car to get something. And as soon as he came back in, he went in the bathroom. And I remember telling Mark, I said, if this guy is not loaded, then I'm not sober.
And then, all of a sudden, he had to leave in a hurry.
Yeah, he had to go.
And you, I think you and I could show this, and he must have run out.
He ran out.
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to...
I thought this was going to last me longer. Have you ever felt that way? I have.
I was gonna bring that up to Shelley too, because sometimes, because there's smack talking that's lying, but there's also smack talking about stuff that's true too. Yeah. I've heard many people dog other people. Like, let's say someone has gotten loaded, and they haven't shared it yet to the group, and they're talking about that they're probably going to take a newcomer chip. Maybe they're not going to take it right now because they don't want to acknowledge it yet, but they're going to or whatever. And then someone says, you know, he freaking got loaded. And that was something that was maybe told in confidence to someone. So smack talking isn't always talking about something that's untrue. It can be smack talking about something that is true that they're not supposed to talk about as well.
Yeah, or that it's none of anyone else's business.
But if somebody goes out and gets loaded.
Yeah.
And I don't let people who hang around with that person know.
Uh-huh.
We have seen.
Right, that's true.
Coincidentally, the same guy I was just talking about take an entire group with him when he went.
Yeah, yes. That's true. He did.
Now that's the thing. There's times when, let's say I know that guy is getting loaded.
Yep.
He's going somewhere with a bunch of people from his house.
Yep.
That might be a good thing to tell somebody.
Yeah.
Because he's about to go out with a bunch of newcomers, and he's currently getting loaded. And these guys all like the same drug he does, and they're all new.
Yeah.
Now, even though I'm not supposed to say anything, if I don't say anything, it's possibly endangering to other people.
Right.
It's kind of like someone who's in a meeting suddenly romancing the stone.
Yeah.
You'd be quick to give them a smackdown then.
Yes, I would, but that's also in a public venue. Everyone else is hearing the same thing.
So what would you do about the other thing? You know someone's getting loaded. They've asked you not to tell anyone. They're going out with a bunch of newcomers today, and they all like to do the same drug. You know he's getting loaded. They're all going with him.
Yeah, I think in that case I'd have to blow the whistle. Because if we keep secrets like that, we die.
Right.
But there are other kinds of things, you know, you don't necessarily need to blab about when it's someone's personal business, or it might negatively impact that person or their family.
What if it caused issues between sponsees and sponsors? Possibly.
Then you definitely should keep your fat mouth shut.
Really? So if there was...
No, I'm not. I was just... No.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true, because when we had a recent issue, the first thing I did was go to the guy's sponsor and say, here's what happened, and he knows I'm upset. I need to talk to him. I'm letting you know ahead of time. Are we on the same question?
We're not even in the same ballpark.
I've lost something here.
You brought up
I?
A real specific instance about somebody, and I wasn't really going there. But
meds 5,
Shelley 1.
Well, maybe I misheard.
She's
something.
She's got a
because,
new med.
Yeah.
Because well, no.
She does.
I do actually, but it's not a brain med.
It's called Dilaudid.
No. But I may be mishearing things because I've got the wah-wah machine going on in my ears.
Wah,
so,
wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
not
that,
helping things.
That's the Charlie Brown adult speaking.
Wah, 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 wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah, wah.
I get the sound gets distorted sometimes in my ear. A few weeks ago when this started up at work, my coworker said that she had to go and order some porn movies. And I said, what? Because
some
we're a public
porn
library.
At the library?
Yeah, and we're not allowed to order porn.
Yeah.
She was ordering foreign movies.
Sure sounded to me like you said porn.
That's what I thought, but then
foreign
I heard,
porn movies?
Huh?
Japanese porn movies. Don't worry, they're digitized. You can't see anything. It's all blurry.
Okay, so what was the original question? Because clearly I'm lost.
No, the question was, what if it's something that would adversely, like the example you brought up is not adversely affecting the relationship between a sponsor and sponsee. Let's say.
Oh, I thought you said spouse.
I'll use an example. I didn't realize that person was William's spouse.
No. Okay. This is where we went off the rails. Okay.
Okay.
Never mind.
I'll use a weird example. Let's say. And this isn't a specific example. Let's say that someone, I'm sponsoring a guy.
Right.
And
right.
Someone goes to this guy's uncle and says, You know what? That his sponsor is getting loaded. So that directly. So what happens is the uncle says, "Man, you can't hang out with that guy anymore because you know, because now he has a skewed perception of the sponsor as a result of something this person says,
which isn't true.
There'd be an opportunity for me to sponsor one less person?
Yeah.
Exactly. Where do I get in line to get that?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Now I've gotten confused. Who am I supposed to be ratting out?
No, what I'm saying is let's say that happens. So that it what I was saying is what if the smack that's being talked could adversely affect a sponsee-sponsor relationship?
Oh.
So someone saying something untrue
yes.
about the sponsor
right.
gets to other people in the family who are now distressed
oh, okay.
that maybe
okay.
the sponsor's not the person they think they
I
are.
I get it. I think that personally, I think that opening the floodgates on what's really going on and having frank discussions would be a better way to go because the person that is lying needs to have their covers pulled.
Well, and this is the thing I was going to say because I'm sure everyone here, Peanut Gallery and everything, someone has told you sometime, I need to tell you this, but you can't tell anybody. And then they tell you something that's kind of heavy and you're like, wow, that's like really the kind of thing that you should tell people, you know, or that's something that we really need to talk about. But it's like, but I told them I wouldn't talk about it. So now I can't talk about it. And then something else happens with maybe said individual. And of course, no one can say anything about it because no one's supposed to know. And it's like, okay.
Well, then
it becomes multiple issues and multiple things. And no one wants to talk about it.
Right. I agree. And you know what? One of the reasons we all ended up here is because we kept our secrets for way too long. And we ran from our secrets and
true.
We hid from our secrets and it made us sick.
And you're only as sick as your secrets.
Aww.
There you go. Okay, no one at home is hearing that.
So, but where, I mean.
People at home hear. No one at home is hearing that.
here's the thing. The reason we practice acceptance in all that we do is because what we know is, in the end, you'll either stay clean and sober or you won't. Those who follow the program have a chance to do that. Those who do the crap that we're talking about and the situation, eventually let the guilt catch up to them.
True.
But
you mean I don't have to kick their ass?
I would pray about it. I would consult my sponsor. And consulting my sponsor
my
does
sponsor
that,
would tell me to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Consulting my sponsor does he not would. Help the person, by the way.
Yeah,
my sponsor has told me before I'd kick his ass if I ever saw
yeah,
him.
My sponsor.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, on the situation you're talking about,
yeah.
my sponsor said he'd kick his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that was a real specific thing to do with anonymity at one point. And my sponsor,
yeah.
Unrelated person to this event, but my sponsor's like, I'd kick his ass.
Yeah, I the last time I went to your sponsor with an immediate issue because he was, quote, the voice of reason.
Oh, yeah, he went out to kick somebody's ass.
Well, you know,
so that didn't
thing.
Work.
Here's the thing. We're talking about people, for the most part, who have about 20 minutes of sobriety. And
If.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out, oh, they're talking smack about somebody. Maybe next time they come back, they won't.
Well, and you know what the thing is? I think that when you look at sources, which most people do, you look at
the
source and go,
source.
Oh, my God, look who's talking smack.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Smack Talker, and it's like I don't think that people really believe it anyway.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think it depends on the situation because some people, it'll be real easy to tell. They'll look at someone and they'll go, there's Mr. Smack Talker. He always talks like that. You know you can't believe anything they say, and no one really takes it to heart. Then you have the guys that are a little more, you know, in between where people look and they go, you know, like the thing with the example of someone going with someone to a convention. Well, I don't even, you know, I don't know that person very well. Now this guy's saying this other person, I don't think you should go to the convention. Then it screws up the guy's chances of going to what would have been a really great thing where he would have, he would have got the message in a way he never would have got it before.
So who's the person that's powerful enough to have somebody go out and get loaded, or have somebody not get to go to the right convention? You mean the
well, your parents, the one that could stop you from going to the convention.
So then you don't go.
Or your wife or your husband.
So you don't go. Who gives a crap?
PETA galleries. We actually have someone raising their hand in the PETA
gallery.
Sorry,
we don't take outside questions.
Yeah, we do. We took one earlier.
What?
Wait, Shelley, yeah, you better talk into the mic.
Take it, talk into the mic. This is Hamza, by the way.
Long enough to ask the question. Oh, okay. So throughout our whole entire life, everything that we've done out of kind of wrongful intent or whatever you want to say, we've usually hurt ourselves with this negative occurrences or whatever, and we have punished ourselves, so nobody needs to punish us. But when it's from a right point of view, like you're trying to save somebody and whatnot, you know, from going out with, I think there's the right. It tells itself, you know. We don't even got to discuss this anymore. Shut the door. Oh, yeah.
Who's the lead on music by?
Yeah.
So.
Actually, we're getting closer to Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on the subject be?
My final words actually are not my final words. They are words from Sister B, who said, before you say anything, is it true? Is it necessary? And is it kind?
Excellent last words, Sister B. Awesome. Awesome. Oh, yeah. She's great. Mark, final words.
Giving a crap about what anybody says about you is nothing more than pride and eagle jumping up.
True.
And my thing is, I don't. They can say whatever. People can say whatever they want about me because I have a thick skin in that way. But if as a result of someone saying something about me, it affects someone else or someone else's relationships with other people, then I have an issue with it. So, Mark. Who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The Other White Meat.
Runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read a fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a sober living recovery home, someplace where many of us sit together, contact Bruce, and he will send you some hard copies to strew about the facility.
Awesome. Shelley, people are listening to the show.
Who are you on, Shelley?
Well, I don't know after this one.
You know.
They're all talking smack about us now.
Clearly. Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, or what was it? Last30days.net?
Last30days.com.
.com? Whatever. Either one. Click on one of the shows. Click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us with our demographics. And if you are not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And fun.
You can like old shows. You can leave comments. You can leave topic suggestions, please. You can follow us. That will get you automatic updates when we post the shows. You can also put us on playlists for all your rock and party needs.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Matter of fact, it's so easy to sign up if you're on Facebook, especially if you're logged into Facebook. You can go there and click log in with Facebook. It will log you right in just a quick second. And it's very easy. If you're Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. Shelly's got that look again. You can also, if you want to be more anonymous online, you can join the Recovery 101 group. That's a closed group. People will not see what you post at your regular friends list and stuff. If you want to join that, you have to ask. If you ask, ye shall receive. And if you spam the group, ye shall receive Shelley's slipper of death. Or Robert or Bill or Fran or whoever else is an admin there. I'm an admin. I don't think I've ever done anything to anybody there because I don't pay that much attention, I'm sorry to say. If you would like to email us topics, suggestions, a jingle, or anything like that, you can do it to recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/recovery101rule62. Oh.
Forward?
Recovery 101. Wait. Oh, my God.
YouTube.com.
YouTube.com/
Easy Look.
Easy Look. And YouTube.com/ Recovery 101 Rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Actually, you have videos there.
Yeah. Are these foreign?
Yes, foreign. Foreign.
Foreign.
Well, actually, there's other videos. Well, no, at Recovery 101 Rule 62, there's only me.
Yeah, we've talked about doing more videos.
The other one actually has videos of guys that aren't even on the show anymore. So, Shelly?
Yes?
Who's the lead-out music by?
Billy the Kid and the Lucky Poets?
Sure, why not?
Okay, you gave me that look.
I gave her the look.
You gave her the lucky poet look.
The look you want to know better. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
There comes a point in everybody's life when you're not as young as you used to be, and you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but your world has changed. Colors don't shine like they used to. Stars don't shine like they used to. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. There comes a point in everybody's life. When you're not as young as you used to be, and you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but the world has changed.